Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hallöchen, hier ist Mona und heute mit einer Interviewgästin, die sich nicht an Regeln hält. Die sprengt Genregrenzen, ist eine absolute Hitmaschine und das schon seit über einem Jahrzehnt. Hört mal. Die Stimme hinter all den größten EDM-House-Pop-Hits und jetzt wird Zeit, dass wir auch ihr Gesicht, ihre Geschichten und ihre Persönlichkeit kennenlernen. Und das machen wir in dieser Folge und lasst euch sagen, sie hat sehr viel zu erzählen. Ich freue mich, wenn ihr dabei seid bei dieser ganz besonderen Folge mit diesem schönen, ganz besonderen Gespräch mit Becky Hill. Hello everyone, this is Mona and I am joined by a woman that doesn't do rules. She's a hit machine since decades, 2-time Brit Award winner, 3 nominations in a row and just a powerhouse with a wonderful, wonderful voice. Welcome, Becky Hill.
Wow, what an introduction that was. Thank
Hello.
You so much. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the time in this like big, big year. You've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Career-wise, but also personal. So much going on. Can you keep up?
No. I feel like I'm barely keeping up, but I think it's all amazing stuff and I'm just trying to take it all in and enjoy it. I mean, I've got my first ever European tour, which seems crazy for me. I've been in the music industry since I was 18. I turned 30 last month. So I kind of feel like COVID stopped. Mm. I mean, it was our industry that got hit the hardest. So it stopped me from getting over here. So I kind of feel like I'm about 2 years behind. So yeah, I'm excited to play people the songs that they know, but mm-hmm. they might not know that I've done.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to put a face to the voice.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. And that's what we need, your beautiful, beautiful face to this beautiful voice. So we'll talk about all this, all of the above. When I did my research, I read that it's like your first headlining European tour and I was like, what?
Yeah, crazy, right?
Crazy. So crazy. So congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
Let's start maybe with your single, Outside of Love.
Yeah.
And you wrote on Instagram that it's phase two.
Yes. Yeah,
what does that mean?
So Never Be Alone, which was my last single, which I adore.
Yeah.
I loved that record so much. And mm-hmm. It was kind of like the first introduction to the new album. So this is my second album coming up. It's called Believe Me Now. It's out on the 31st of May. And really, this is the second introduction to what that album's going to sound
cool.
like. I had a couple of singles last year with Side Effects and mm-hmm. Disconnect mm-hmm. with Chasing Status. But these two singles are really a good insight on what the album's going to sound
cool.
like. I wanted to really submerge myself mm-hmm. in dance music. I love dance music, like unbelievable amounts. So it was so nice to be able to be very focused in what I wanted to write this time round. The first album, Only Honest on the Weekend, took about 9 years to
wow.
get together. 2 record deals later, you know, I got signed when I was 19. Mm-hmm. I had a number one record with Overdrive with Oliver Heldens. And then it pushed back my first single and I got dropped. And then I started up my own record label and put all of my own money into it, all the money that I had left.
Crazy.
And then that led me to the record deal that I'm in now, which is amazing because this is the second album we're doing together. And I was really focused with writing this one. It didn't take me actually that long. I thought it was going to take me a lot longer, but I was really focused in making dance music and I can only ever write pop songs.
Mm-hmm.
I've only ever been able to write pop songs, but I really wanted to team it up with dance music that felt a lot more in depth and felt
mm-hmm.
like a lot maturer and felt a bit more something you could hear on the radio, but something you could also hear in the club.
Yeah.
And I'm quite excited. I'm dead excited actually to show people what I've
amazing.
Been making. And yeah, so the the European tour will be a mixture of stuff that people will know, and it'll be the two new singles, which I'm excited to play live. Mm-hmm. Outside of Love for Me is one of my favourite songs that I've written in this kind of chapter. Mm-hmm. It's a real ballad, but it has I've worked with a duo, a pair of brothers called Parisi, mm-hmm. Who are amazing, and they work a lot with Fred again. So it very much has that kind of fresh, nostalgic energy to it. So yeah, I'm excited. I feel like I've got so much to tell people this time round, and I'm really excited to be in places I've never been before and tell people all about who I am and what I do, and hopefully world domination.
Yeah, we're excited to hear about it on the album. We will talk about that later. But you said it yourself, Outside of Love, it's about the feeling of loneliness and isolation while surrounded by other people. And I think we all had this feeling. We know this feeling. Does this come from a personal space? Which headspace were you in when you wrote the song?
It's funny because we were doing a writing camp. For people that don't know what a writing camp is, it's like five different rooms full of writers and producers who are all writing songs for you. And essentially, I started off that week going, guys, everything's great. Can we write about love? Can we write about being happy and in a really great space? By day three, I'd come in and been like, everything's terrible. I think, you know, I've been with my partner for 8 years. We're getting married this year.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. And I think what's so interesting about growing older and being in a relationship is that you start to understand somebody's reasons behind their actions. And I think at this point when I wrote Outside of Love, I didn't have any understanding. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand why he was keeping me so far away. He kept me at arm's length for quite a long time. And I think it's really difficult when you can see somebody else in pain, but they're not letting you anywhere mm-hmm. near them. And therefore it kind of pushes you out and makes you feel like, A, it's your fault, and B, you can't connect with somebody. Mm-hmm. Outside of Love is very much about falling in love, being in love with somebody and not feeling like you're getting all of them, and feeling really lonely when you're in their presence. Mm-hmm. It hasn't actually been a concept that I've heard being written about for a while, if at all. So I'm really apprehensive actually to see if people connect with that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think you can put it onto many different situations. I think people, you know, going to parties and standing in the corner of the party and being like, I don't feel like I should be here.
Totally.
So yeah, I'm hoping people really resonate with it.
Yeah, that's what I love about your music, that it's really deep and it's really topics that you don't hear a lot. Also with, you said it yourself, never be alone, like falling back in love, rediscover love for each other. I think it's beautifully written, and that's what I love so much. But it's a really personal story then about you and your fiancé. Is this hard to share during a writing camp with maybe people you met once or never before?
Interesting. I mean, the two other people that I wrote it with, Mike Kintish, who I wrote a song called I Could Get Used to This mm-hmm. with, and actually that was I wrote I Could Get Used to This before mine and my fiancé's fourth date.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I was about to go out mm-hmm. and meet him for our fourth date. We were actually going to see Hans Zimmer at Wembley Arena.
Wow.
So it was like, it was all of these feelings of like, this guy's amazing, and you know, I've been on my own for so long. And I wrote that record with Mike Kintish, and Charlotte Haining was the other collaborator on this record, and she and I wrote My Heart Goes together, mm-hmm. which was obviously quite a, you know, big song for us as well. So it's really nice. I'd already broken those boundaries of personal. Mm-hmm. I'm also a professional oversharer, so.
Well, you have to be, right? Kind of a little
Absolutely.
Bit when you put that songs out in the world.
Yeah, I mean, people want to feel like you're singing about their situation.
Yeah.
And that is only ever going to come from singing about your own situation.
Yeah.
So, and when I was growing up listening to music in my bedroom, like one of my favorite artists was Robin. Mm-hmm. And the way she would talk about, you know, Dancing on My Own, mm-hmm. which was such a big record, and the way that made me feel going through a breakup at 17 and being in a party and seeing my ex-boyfriend with his new girlfriend and how much that destroyed me. But hearing her put those lyrics down in the way that she did with Dance on Her Own, like, that's the feeling I want to create for others.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like this, you do that really. Like, I see myself in your lyrics, and I'm like, yeah. And especially, like, I married myself. We're having our second anniversary this year, and it's like, thank you. You have those feelings, and it's like falling back in love with the person, like evolving, but trying to do it together and whatever. And that's like a really, really connects with me. Good. Do you have to be in a certain mood when writing all these songs? Because of course, for us, it feels like you're always in a good mood. You have to always to be like in a dancey good mood. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you can't, you're a human being. So I guess that's not always your mood. So is there a certain mood you have to be in while recording or writing?
I don't judge ever how I feel when I turn up for a writing session. Mm-hmm. And I think the moment you feel like you need to be in a certain way or a mm-hmm. certain feeling, and that goes with the kind of song that you're writing on the day as well. Like, I think when the record label goes, we need a top 10 hit record, that's when the session is killed. Mm. So I always try and have no judgment over the song that I'm going to write, over the mood that I'm going to be in, over the way that I'm going to present myself. I think songwriting, it's one of my favorite parts of the jobs as well as performing, but songwriting feels like such a nurturing environment mm-hmm. because everybody just turns up, leaves their ego at the door, whether Ooh. You've written a million songs or 10 songs.
Cool.
Everybody just comes and sits together, and I think it's really important to just accept how you are on the day, regardless of, because sometimes if you're in a bad mood, it helps the session.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
So, mm-hmm. You know, anything can kind of come from that.
But that's a really like reflective, really free way to do this. Like, you have to free yourself from ego, which is like as a musician, as an artist. I mean, that's the thing, right? You need some kind of an ego to do this. So it's like, how do you free yourself and be present in the moment and really free yourself from ego, from expectations, from all that?
I guess I'm kind of used to it, mainly because I've collaborated. I've done a lot of collaborations. Mm. You know, I did Remember with David Guetta, Crazy What Love Can Do with Ella Henderson and David Guetta, Lose Control with Medusa, False Alarm with Matoma. Like, a lot of my songs have been with other artists. So I think there's always, there's always a thing of, you're no better than I, and I'm no better than you. And I think that's a really important thing to just carry around with you anyway. And I think that's been the making of my music, has been how collaborative it's been. Like, I know some artists are a little bit weird about working with other people, but actually I think it's only ever benefited my music, and I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing that you can just, like, as an artist, step away from being an artist, you know? Just amazing how you do that. Cool.
Thanks.
So let's talk about the album. You said it, Believe Me Now, out on the 31st of May. Mm. It's this, like, notorious sophomore album. You said it yourself, you've got 9 years for the first album, and now you have to do, or not have to do, but you did this body of work, and it's this notorious second album. How was creating this body of work for you? Was it like, oh my god, this is this big second album, what am I gonna do with it?
I honestly had so much fun writing this album. I think I was the most confident I've ever been as a songwriter, the most confident I've ever been as a woman, the most confident I've ever been as an artist. And I think, you know, I carried that into this album of being like, actually, let's just have fun making some songs. There's songs on that album that I've never been able to write before. I've never been able to say before or talk mm-hmm. about before. And it really felt like a lot of stuff that I've been feeling probably for my whole career, if not my whole life, have been said on this record. And the title track, True Colours, which we take Believe Me Now from, that for me was I've never been angry on a record before. Ah. And it was the first time that I actually felt like it was this very cool, calm, collected anger. Mm-hmm. And I've got songs there that have been, another favorite of mine is a song called Swim, mm-hmm. Which again is kind of is this very reflective song about falling in love for the first time mm-hmm. and how a relationship looks, and then going a few years down the line and how that relationship looks then. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really beautiful journey to see the songs that I wrote on album one and all of the EPs before that, and to see the songs that I'm writing now, and to see that journey of me growing and becoming the 30-year-old woman that sits here now. So I'm really excited, and I just hope people connect with it and like it as mm-hmm. much as I do.
Yeah.
I wanted to create dance music that you can listen to in the club, as well as on a beautiful drive, mm-hmm. as well as sitting in your bedroom, as well as, you know, coming back from work and putting on some music in mm-hmm. the kitchen. I wanted mm-hmm. to create an album that fits around all of it. So it's got lots of different genres on there: drum and bass, trance music, house music. I'm hoping people like it.
I'm sure about that. Do you want to give away what made you so angry on True Colors?
I had quite a personal and awkward, I guess it's awkward to speak about generally, but I guess when I was 21, I had a situation with one of my friends, and I had a big group of friends from my hometown. And I guess I went on The Voice UK when mm-hmm. I was 17, and I turned 18 on the show. And afterwards, I kept coming back to my hometown and trying to prove to everybody that I hadn't changed. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, TV hadn't changed me. And mm-hmm. but what I'd realised is that everybody else had changed around mm-hmm. me. And I had quite a bad situation with my friend. I was sexually assaulted by my best friend, and I knew that nobody in our friendship group would believe me.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't.
I'm sorry.
And no, thanks.
That sucks. Yeah.
And I went to the police about it 5 years later, and then I sat them all down last year. So bear in mind, I was 21, and last year
no
I got
way.
To sit down with all of the people I used to be friends with, and I was like, guys, do you believe me now?
Yeah.
And they all said, yeah, we had the feeling in the back of our heads, but we didn't want to admit it, and we're really sorry. And it was such a huge thing for me. Mm-hmm. I guess I always felt like I was apologizing for my existence up until that point. And True Colors on the album and Believe Me Now is such a statement for me and for mm-hmm. my younger inner children,
right?
Exactly.
Healing. It's the little backy hill, like healing.
And it felt like the final chapter. And actually, when I wrote True Colors and when I had that conversation last year, it felt like the book had been closed and I can now move
wonderful.
On into my 30s. And I just, it means a lot, an awful lot to me, this mm-hmm. this album. And I think for anybody who is, you know, going through a similar thing and is scared that they're not going to be believed, I mm-hmm. think it's I hope you find solace in this album and True Colors, that song.
Wow, thank you for sharing this story.
Yeah, told you I was a professional oversharer.
But give me goosebumps, and it's so important. And I mean, your survival is like, you came out stronger, that you could heal, you had this whole journey, and I think this only can help other people, as you said it.
I hope so.
Yeah, it will. Wow, thank you. So you also wrote on Instagram that you now finally telling the stories that you want to tell and feeling confidence vocally, lyrically. What paved the way to this album and being so confident now?
I think that I looked at the music that I was releasing mm-hmm. and I thought, we very much had a plan to be very oversaturated on radio. Like, I just wanted to hear myself on radio everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Talking and, about ego.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's the artist.
And when we did Remember with David Guetta, that was the record that mm-hmm. kind of blew up for me. And it didn't just blow up in the UK. It was like you could see the ripple effect across the world. Mm-hmm. And then it went viral on TikTok, and you had Kim Kardashian and Khloe Kardashian and Michael Bublé and all of these massive celebrities coming out and using the song. But I didn't feel like anybody really cared about the artist mm-hmm. behind it. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what, I wanted to really match up the music that I was making with the taste of music that I have. And I am so kind of submerged in dance culture. Like, I love going out raving and clubbing and seeing DJs in their element and watching them twiddle knobs and go, oh God, what are they doing there? Well, they're taking the top end out, and now they're taking the bass out. And I really wanted to make music that I would listen to myself. And this is why this one's a little bit, by no means is going to isolate anybody. I still feel like it's going to be for everybody, but mm-hmm. I definitely wanted to create something with a little bit more weight.
Yeah. Cool. So excited to hear the full body of work. Yes. How did you find this confidence then? Was there something, I mean, turning 30, maybe like Saturn, the Saturn return we're all talking about now was a big thing, right? You also posted a very personal Instagram post on like my 20s. I don't know. I imagine them to be different.
Yeah.
But like I'm looking forward to my 30s. How did this process, like how did you find your confidence and how did this confidence find its way back into the music?
This is a really lovely interview, can I just say?
Thank you so much for this.
This is really nice. I guess my 20s was really turbulent and I found myself being led down paths that I just wanted. I just felt like I wanted to please everybody all the time and make sure that everybody liked me when I walked into a room. And I definitely have that still. Again, probably the artist ego of please like me. I hope everybody likes me.
Like the patterns you learn also, yeah? And exactly. You maybe didn't reflect until then.
And I think I've done a lot of work on myself. I've done a lot of understanding where a lot of my behaviour comes from. You know, I had an ADHD diagnosis last year, which I think has helped massively understand and have some compassion for myself. Mm-hmm. I think you can get so lost in this idea that everybody else is doing better than you are.
Oh, gosh.
And handling life better than you are. And I think when I started showing that vulnerability to people and other people went, oh, God, I'm so glad you said that. I have no idea what I'm doing either. It started to go, oh, okay, nobody knows what they're doing. Even my parents.
Exactly.
So I think I've come to a point in my life where it feels much nicer to be a bit more compassionate to myself and actually to show that in my music and to not worry so much.
Cool. Yeah. Also being freed maybe from all of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
So good. Now being like that well equipped or equipped differently than before, is talking about the tour maybe a little bit more. How different is touring thing, knowing yourself better, being more equipped than before? Did this change the way you go on tour or you feel about touring? Because I mean, touring is a crazy, crazy thing to do.
Yeah, I guess the travel is the hardest part. Like I've never seen so many. I think I know most airports like the back of my hand now. It's like, oh, have you been to Slovenia? Yeah, I've been to the airport. So have you been to Luxembourg? Yep, been to the airport. But so like that's probably the hardest part. But you spend the entire day waiting around for this 1 hour and you go on stage and this 1 hour feels like three. Because I love performing so much, and it's not a thing of all artists. Some artists hate performing, but I love it. And I think when I know my set well and when I've practiced it and I know that I'm able to go out on stage and give a real performance, I've always prided myself on being as good in the studio as I am on stage. And I think, you know, to see people who have listened to my records at home and to watch their faces when I'm live and I'm hitting the same notes and I'm going even higher and their face of like, wow, there's nothing else. There's literally nothing else like it. And, you know, I think that's why we all do it. And that's why we love it so much is that appreciation, because I as an artist appreciate people listening to my music so much, but to get that back as well is such a beautiful thing.
What can we expect for a show?
So you've got everything, as I mentioned, like all of the hits. So Overdrive, Lose Control, Remember, Crazy What Love Can Do, False Alarm, lots of different records from the last 12 years. And then you'll get my own personal records as well. So like My Heart Goes, Remember and stuff like that. And then the two new ones from the album as well. I really wanted to give people we call it the glory set, which is just all of the songs that everyone will know. So I'm really excited to present them in a way because we pattern them out like a DJ set.
Okay.
But it's live. So I'm excited for everybody to sing along.
Cool. Thank you so much for taking
Thank
the time.
You. Thank this you. Interview this interview was so lovely. Thank you for your time and having me on.
Der Energy Star Talk. Einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.